Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to Community Conversations here on 88.5 KRFY. We have an informative show for you today as we discuss the effort currently underway by Reclaim Idaho to place its Invest in Idaho initiative up for a vote on the November ballot. I'm today's host, Chris Bessler. We air Community Conversations every Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. with recorded interviews on local issues. Plus, there's a podcast of each show available after airtime on our website at www.krfy.org. In today's program, we talk with Reclaim Idaho founder Luke Mayville and executive director Rebecca Schroeder about the group's current effort to get its Invest in Idaho initiative on the November general election ballot. This initiative seeks to require the state to increase its funding for education for public schools, and as proposed, would raise up to $200 million additional for schools each year. To place the citizen initiative on the ballot requires a large number of registered voters from districts around the state to sign a petition to bring it to a vote. This year, with the pandemic occurring, the state shutdown order in March halted the signature drive. Reclaim Idaho subsequently took the state to court to get an extended deadline and allow signature gathering online. So far, Reclaim Idaho has prevailed over the state in two court rulings, and it relaunched its petition drive on July 13th. That's a bit of background, but our interviewees today give much more detail. Plus, they tell why they are pursuing this effort and answer some of the questions that opponents have posed about the Invest in Idaho proposal. With that, here's our talk with Reclaim Idaho's Luke Mayville and Rebecca Schroeder. Luke Mayville and Rebecca Schroeder, thank you for taking time from your very busy schedules, I know, to speak with us today. How are you doing today?
Hanging in there. Thanks, Chris.
Appreciate really well. Thank you, Chris.
Well, let's jump right in on the this issues that are foremost right now. Reclaim Idaho is in the midst of a signature drive to collect signatures to place your Invest in Idaho initiative on the November ballot. Now, this is following your successful initiative drive in 2018 to expand Medicaid in Idaho to cover tens of thousands of Idaho residents who previously had no health coverage. We have a lot to talk about, including what Reclaim Idaho is and what your mission is, but we'll back up to that a bit farther on. Let's start with the current signature drive and the current initiative. Can you describe what the Invest in Idaho initiative is, please?
Yeah, Chris, the Invest in Idaho initiative would invest about $170 million annually in K-12 education, and it would do so with zero new taxes on property and zero new taxes on anyone making under $250,000 a year. The new taxes on the initiative are extremely modest. They only affect C corporations, and they simply, the initiative simply restores the corporate income tax rate to where it used to be, which was 8%. The initiative also adds a very modest tax increase just on income that an individual makes over $250,000 a year. So no new taxes on your first $250,000, but just a modest increase on what you make above $250,000 a year. And for a married couple, that number is actually $500,000. So $500,000, no new taxes for a married couple on your first $500,000. And this money goes towards critical priorities, things like making teacher salaries more competitive. So here in North Idaho, teachers are less likely to leave the state and go to Washington where they can earn a whole lot more. Things like career technical programs, you know, welding or agricultural science that could sorry, I've got a future student in the background here, so bear with me. But things like career technical programs that could give young people a chance to make a living when they graduate. So that's really what this initiative is all about.
One question, since it's of interest in our school district for sure, is would this also help with facilities?
This initiative is strictly operational, instructional. It does not have to do with facilities. Facilities are a big need in Idaho, but we decided to focus squarely on the classroom for this initiative.
Okay. If it does qualify for the ballot, how do you have you got the wording worked out for what the will actually say on the ballot?
Yes, we have, and I don't have the exact wording right in front of me, but it is something like an initiative to augment education funding in Idaho, or something like augment K through 12 education funding by increasing corporate income and individual income tax rates.
And individuals would see it actually called the Invest in Idaho Initiative when they saw their ballot.
I'm not sure about that yet. Okay. We have not yet qualified it, so some of the official wording has not yet been established. It would have a proposition, though. It would be say Proposition 1, or, well, very likely Proposition 1, because it doesn't look as if there's going to be any other proposition.
Okay, so we're actually jumping the gun a little bit, because you do need to qualify it for the ballot, and that's brings us to where we're at today, and that is you're in the midst of a signature drive. And can you describe, maybe Rebecca, this is a good place for you to jump in. You know, can you describe, you know, what threshold you need to meet to get on the ballot and how you're going about that?
Absolutely. We're still working under the same guidelines that the state of Idaho has put forth to qualify an initiative, which is 6% of registered voters in 18 of Idaho's 35 legislative districts. We also need a 6% of registered voters statewide number. That means we are tasked with gathering 55,017, I think is the number, valid signatures from registered voters in Idaho. Now, before the pandemic, we had already qualified five districts, I believe, and had several others within just a few hundred signatures of qualification. So all of those signatures from before the pandemic still count toward our total now. But of course, we had collected about 30,000 before, and we still have, you know, a lot of signatures, thousands, that would need to be collected from specific places in Idaho to reach those qualification guidelines. So we are working diligently. We only have, Luke, you'll have to maybe correct me, 40 days additional remaining now to pull this off. So every day is very important that we're connecting with as many voters as possible and getting that signature total up to where we need it to be.
And you mentioned this is actually a district by district thing, because you have to qualify, you said 16 districts?
18.
18. So you have to meet a threshold in each of those districts.
That's right.
Now, I assume that, does that vary somewhat? The populations are a little bit different.
It does just a little bit. I mean, it's about 1,500 or so registered voters in each district that we need to sign, but that can vary a little bit based on the population.
So you're pursuing this online at this point. How are you reaching out to people? You can't go do the door knocking and the on-the-ground sorts of activities that you've had in the past?
We're definitely trying to evolve right now. We're looking at how to make this a successful campaign in pandemic times, when you're right, we can't go out and rely on some of those face-to-face conversations. So we're evolving in the digital space, trying to use that to reach out to as many folks as possible. And our grassroots network, we're utilizing in new, exciting ways as well. Maybe you want to talk a little bit about that, Luke.
Yes. So we are trying to make this campaign look as much like an ordinary grassroots campaign as possible, while still being entirely safe and mm-hmm. maintaining social distance, wearing masks when needed. And what does that mean? Well, we can't go door to door and talk to people face to face. But we can still go door to door and drop off flyers. We can't necessarily go to big events and talk to people face to face, but we can do a lot with social media. We can activate not just our own statewide organization, but we can activate teams of people in communities all over the state to do all kinds of different social media outreach, to email their friends and neighbors, to try to get a hold of as many teachers they know and get teachers involved, sharing the word, whether it's by text or by email or by, you know, Facebook, with friends and family. So there's all kinds of grassroots outreach that we can do in addition to the constant, you know, social media that we do as a statewide organization.
I would say that there's more interest than ever in that grassroots involvement also, since the governor's proposed budget cuts to our education funding coming up, being already dead last in our per pupil spending, and then facing some of the deepest cuts that we've seen in a long time to our public education budget, has really motivated a lot of people who maybe weren't even involved with us before the pandemic to look at the issues that we're facing now and really jump into the game. So that's exciting.
So are you finding some advantages to being online? I mean, it's pretty new, right? You've only been at it where you've really been able to say we can proceed for a week or 10 days. Are there some advantages to using social media or other online platforms to connect with people?
I'll say possibly. We don't know for sure yet. We had a very big day, our first day when the petition launched online. We collected over 3,000 signatures, but that's not our record. In doing in-person signature gathering, we've collected more than 6,000 in one day. So it's not yet clear that this is actually a whole lot easier. People still have to go through the petition and look at it closely and enter their information and sign it. So we will see, and we do not anticipate it will be easy. We are confident, though, with the enthusiasm all over the state, that we can win this thing if we stay focused.
So we've been talking about the unprecedented challenges that the whole process is facing due to the COVID-19 restrictions, but in fact, Reclaim Idaho has won a couple of rulings against the state to allow this process to go forward. And the federal Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled in your favor, I think, on July 8th, to allow online signature gathering. Is the state still pursuing appeals on this?
Yes. The state of Idaho, they originally appealed the district court ruling. Here in the District of Idaho, it's federal court. They appealed that. Their appeal to block the electronic signature drive was denied. They then appealed to the Ninth Circuit Court to block the electronic signature drive. That was denied. They're now appealing to the Supreme Court to block the electronic signature drive. That decision could come down sometime this week or next week. And I do not, just to clarify, we do not mean the Idaho Supreme Court. We're talking about the United States Supreme Court. That's where they've appealed for this decision. And we're confident that the United States Supreme Court, just like the lower courts, is going to recognize the importance of our rights to petition our government, and they're going to uphold that decision. Regardless of what the Supreme Court does, there will then be another hearing in August, a full hearing that's different than some of these other decisions, a full hearing called On the Merits, and that will be in early August. So that will be about the fifth court decision on this issue. But in the meantime, we continue to plow ahead to ask people to visit reclaimidaho.org. and sign the petition to invest in K-12 education.
So, as I understand it, the Supreme Court could just decide not to issue any kind of ruling, and the appeals court ruling would then stand. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. If they would, it would be called denying a stay. So the Supreme Court is being asked to stay the lower court ruling, which basically means block it from going into effect. They may very well deny that stay and allow us to continue with our electronic signature drive for K-12 education.
Okay, well, let's turn back to the initiative itself, the Invest in Idaho initiative. You gave a good description of what that's about. And there have been, of course, on any issue, there are going to be people that are pro and those that are con. And I scraped up some objections that I've spotted out there on the social media. So I'd like to pose those to you so you could answer some of those. One poster recently posted, the schools here, meaning in Bonner County, already got the $25 million levy and the unlimited number. How much more do they need? So this question is in reference to the fact that the Lake Padre School District last year got a permanent levy approved for our local schools. And what would your answer be to that? That, hey, our local schools seem to be well funded.
If I could, I would ask Rebecca to talk a little bit about the surrounding schools. So because we do, I mean, I think a lot of people in Bonner County don't just care about Lake Pondere schools. They also care about Priest River and Boundary County. And they also care about our state and all of the kids in our state. And Rebecca has done a lot of traveling. I have as well around the state, hearing stories from people. But I'll speak to the Lake Pondere district because that's the district where I went to school, and I care very deeply about it. The question is, you know, there's this big question: how much is enough? How much, or you know, at what point are you really investing enough? Well, the best way to think about it is we've got to be competitive. We're not investing enough in our. And the truth of the matter is that even with the levy that went into effect, thank God it went into effect because we desperately needed it. But even then, we're still going to find it really difficult to hang on to our most experienced qualified teachers in the Lake Pondere School District. We're right over the border from Washington State, where teachers can go and earn $20,000 or $30,000 more per year doing the same job. As long as we're not even close to competitive, we've got to try to do more. And, you know, this initiative is not going to fix every problem, but it is a step in the right direction. And and it's done, you know, with zero new taxes on property and zero new taxes on anyone making under $250,000 a year. So it's a very worthwhile step to make our schools in Bonner County more competitive.
And where I grew up in the Clearwater Valley, I think it's important to start from the understanding that in Idaho, we have a constitutional obligation to provide a uniform, thorough public education. And we have a lot of variability throughout the state, depending on how property rich your school district is, because we have seen this shift in an increasing budget reliance on these supplemental levies that, you know, of course money isn't everything, but when the supplemental levy fails to pass in Kamiai, Idaho, and the elementary school has to close as a result of it, then money isn't nothing either. You know, this is about keeping the doors open in some of our school districts. This is truly critical funding. And wouldn't it be, you know, we're not claiming that if we pass this initiative that districts will never have to a levy again. That's not it. They may, but wouldn't it be nice if that levy were actually for something supplemental rather than just, you know, to keep the lights on and the doors open in the school? Wouldn't it be nice if we could shift that responsibility that we have as Idaho back to the state where it belongs and level the playing field? Because it should not matter what your zip code is in Idaho. You know, you should be able to get a good education for your kids, no matter if you're in Kamiai, Idaho, or downtown Boise.
Yeah, and I think it bears pointing out that this would ultimately help shift the tax burden away from property owners who are bearing the entire cost of the school levies.
That's right. If anything, it should stabilize the need for some of those levies. As we said, shifting that responsibility back to the state.
Well, let's take another objection that has been posted out on the social media. And this is about the Invest in Idaho initiative representing a slide towards, quote, socialism. And there are some members of our communities that feel like, hey, this is a socialistic sort of move because we're putting the more tax burden on the higher income levels. And how would you respond to that?
Well, if you go to reclaimidaho.org, take a look at the petition, you'll see for yourself that the changes to the tax code are extremely modest. What we're talking about is simply restoring the corporate rate to where it used to be in the year 2000. And before that, for about 15 years, it was at 8%. We're simply moving it back to where it used to be. And then in terms of individual income tax rates, this is just a modest tax increase on income over $250,000 a year, but it doesn't even kick in on your first $250,000 that you make. The truth of the matter is that if you are a middle income person in Idaho, or even a low income person in Idaho, you pay a higher percentage of your total income in taxes than the wealthiest Idahoans do. And so what this really is an effort to do is create a more balanced tax code. It's even more modest than that. It's just adding a little bit more balance to our tax code. If anything, it makes Idaho look a little bit more like what Idaho looked like 15 years ago, before there was a long period where we just kept cutting taxes on corporations, kept cutting taxes on income, including on those making, $500,000 a year. So that's what I'd say to that. It's the bottom line is that the changes to the tax code in this initiative are extremely modest. But at the same time, those changes are going to do a whole lot for the students in our schools who will benefit from them.
And I really see this as a reevaluation of our priorities as a state, because for a long time, we have seen a legislature prioritize things like tax cuts for the wealthiest Idahoans and for out-of-state corporations over the basic funding of our schools. We want to reevaluate that priority. You know, we've seen even this year with our governor proposing massive cuts to our education budget without even considering digging into our rainy day fund. You know, we want to prioritize a quality education for every child in Idaho. And, you know, I don't think that, you know, any elected official would tell you that they support education. So let's act like it in policy.
Okay. Here's another objection out there on the social media, the interwebs.
Bring it on, Chris.
The group of Reclaim Idaho is not grassroots. It's being funded by out-of-state interests. How do you respond to that?
Look, you can look at our public finance, at our campaign finance reports. It's all public. And if you look at this initiative, you know, this past month since we've revived the initiative and since we won our lawsuit, we've collected over 1,000 small contributions. Most of those contributions ranging from $3 to $100. And really only a few that are anything more than that amount. And it's those are overwhelmingly from Idahoans from all over the state. We collect contributions. I think last time I checked during the last month, it was from people in at least 30 different counties contributing to Reclaim Idaho. Look, there's a lot of confusion because people look back at the Medicaid expansion initiative. And once something gets on the ballot, anyone can contribute to help support that initiative winning. So once Medicaid expansion got on the ballot, you had hospitals putting in a lot of money for it to win. You had some national organizations that really believe in healthcare contributing money for Medicaid expansion to win. None of that money ever went to Reclaim Idaho. Reclaim Idaho is an organization that started in Sagal. It started actually, in fact, in my mom's backyard in Sagal. That's how we launched the whole thing. And our first ever KRFY interview, we came on to talk about our big launch event that happened at the Panada. And that's when we really kicked off our entire thing. So people can read our history. They can look at our campaign finance reports. You know, if they look long and hard, they might find a contribution here and there of $1,000 or something from a very generous person. But the reality is the vast majority of our contributions are, you know, ranging from $3 again to $100, and they're from people. And, you know, people in Bonner County are disproportionately donating to our campaign because that's where we started. But it's been grassroots. It's been homegrown from the very beginning, and that's what we're all about.
Luke said, we are a 501c6, which by law means we have to report all of those contributions. And last year, or with the Medicaid expansion, there was a complaint to the Secretary of State with this same issue, that we were not grassroots, and it was a campaign finance complaint that the Secretary of State investigated thoroughly and dismissed. So, you know, once something gets kind of started out there in social media, it feels like it can spin out of control. But we have always been a grassroots organization, and we can prove it.
Well, that's a good segue. Let's talk a little bit more about who and what Reclaim Idaho is. You described its beginnings, Luke, but who does the group consist of now? And then what's your mission, or your missions in your case?
Yeah, good. So the group consists of people all over the state. The core element of our, the real bedrock of our organization has always been these local county teams, volunteer teams based at the county level, usually with one or two volunteer leaders. We've always had a very strong team in Bonner County. Off and on, we've had teams that have popped up in Boundary County, certainly in Kootenai County, and then all across the state. We also have a statewide team that helps coordinate all of those county teams. And that statewide team really has a basic role of providing those teams with the kind of guidance and sometimes the resources, whether it's, you know, flyers or materials, you know, other materials that they need to be effective. The statewide team are also those who are responsible for doing a lot of media interviews, like, you know, going on with you today, Chris, and doing a lot of the communications work. There's about, you know, anywhere from 5 to 7 of us at any given time who are part of that statewide team. 2 to 3 of them are paid staff at any one time. I don't think we've ever had more than 3 paid staff total in our entire history. But at any given time, we've always had hundreds of volunteers who are involved just because they care deeply about the issue. And that's right now, you've got volunteer teams forming all over the state, directing people to go to reclaimidaho.org to sign this K-12 funding initiative.
So your first big initiative was healthcare, Medicaid expansion. This is about education. What is your, do you have a singular focus as a mission?
Okay. Well, from the very beginning, we said we want to focus on 3 issues: strong public schools, protected public lands, and healthcare for working families. Protected public lands is an issue that we cared deeply about from the beginning. We found that that's an issue that, like healthcare and like education, it brings people together all across the political spectrum, whether you're conservative, progressive, independent, whatever you are. We have not yet launched any kind of campaign or any kind of concerted effort for that, for the public lands issue. But we have focused on the other two, and we've you know, put forward real initiatives on those two. And that, from the very beginning, what it was all about was, you know, bringing people together, identifying the issues that are not divisive, not in the sense that there aren't some people who disagree, but in the sense that you can get 60, 70, 80% of people to at the very least have a civil conversation about it. And in many cases actually agree on the basics.
Where does the name Reclaim Idaho come from, or what's the significance of Reclaim Idaho?
Good. Well, when we very first started, I think you'll remember, Chris, we came on the show to talk about our big opening event at the Panada, and it was about the theme of education, which we've now come full circle around to. And that the first idea behind Reclaim Idaho had to do with education, and it had to do with the idea that a commitment to public education is in our state constitution. We committed as a state to fully fund education for all of our kids, no matter which zip code they live in. We committed to that in the year 1890 when we enacted our constitution. So when we in the last 20 or 30 years have really turned our backs on that commitment, that's something that needs to be reclaimed. We need to reclaim our constitutional tradition in this state and go back to being a state that we were from the very beginning. Go back to being a state that values investing in our children and that values giving our kids a chance to succeed.
And, you know, for me, I think about the kids who go to my high school in Kuski, Idaho today, that now there is no more band. There's no more shop class. You know, I learned how to weld and I had all these great programs and great instructors. And I really don't think it's fair to see the kids today that are missing out on those same opportunities. And that's why I would love to see us do better to reclaim education in Idaho. And through the initiative process, you know, that is really designed for the case where the vast majority of citizens see an issue that the legislature either won't or can't deal with. We saw that with Medicaid expansion, and we believe that same crisis exists with public education today.
So the Medicaid expansion was really Reclaim Idaho's first foray into statewide politics, an attempt to influence state policies. And it passed on the 2018 ballot with a 61% of the voters approving it. Subsequently, it was enacted by the legislature. Do you feel like the legislature has made a good faith effort or attempt to meet the intent of the initiative?
Well, the legislature, is 105 individuals. So it varies quite a lot, including... in North Idaho, in Southern Idaho and Eastern Idaho, you've got legislators who have acted in good faith. Unfortunately, many of them have not. Many of them have simply not respected the will of the voters when it comes to healthcare. They seem more committed to their own ideology, to their own interests, than to honoring the will of the voters. So many of them voted against funding Medicaid expansion. Many of them voted to repeal Medicaid expansion. It didn't succeed. Medicaid expansion was funded. Many of them voted to add all kinds of burdensome restrictions to the Medicaid expansion program. Thankfully, those did not go into effect for various reasons. So now, to date, you have over 80,000 people in Idaho receiving healthcare who would not have otherwise had any access to affordable health care. 80,000 people. So it's incredible that it's happened the way it's happened. And I don't think we would have quite imagined any of this when we were first interviewing with you, Chris, a couple years ago. But it is sad to see that while some of our legislators do seem to really honor the will of the voters, many of them do not.
I'm curious, has taking those 80,000 some individuals and providing health care for them, has that lessened the burden on some of the counties and their indigent funds that previously have been responsible for helping individuals that can't afford to pay for health care?
We have evidence so far. It's, the evidence is still coming in. Just recently, we learned, and I believe my numbers are right here, and Rebecca, you might be able to correct me if I'm wrong, but in Ada County, there a report came out that there will be $4 million in savings. And that's going to allow the county, the largest county in Idaho, to offset what otherwise would have been raises in property taxes, because they're going to save $4 million from Medicaid expansion. Now, we are eager to see those same types of savings pop up all over the state. It seems, though, that there's not quite the data, and we're also going to be relying on county officials being cooperative around the state to actually release that data and give us accurate information. We're not going to know the savings if we don't have the information. But it is certainly true that there are people who would have otherwise been using county services, costing county taxpayers money, who are now enrolled in the Medicaid expansion program, which is covered by federal dollars. And those are dollars that we were already spending, even though we hadn't expanded Medicaid. So it's very likely that we're going to see savings all over the state.
Okay, well, to circle back to the issue that's right before us, the Invest in Idaho initiative. We're about out of time, but anything else you'd like to tell people? For one, if they do want to get involved with it, either just to sign the petition for the initiative or to get involved in other ways as a volunteer, what would people do?
Well, it's all about visiting reclaimidaho.org. That's where you can sign the initiative. If you've already signed the initiative, whether back when it was a written initiative or if you've already gone to reclaimidaho.org and signed it, please write down that website, share it with as many friends as possible, share it on social media, text it to friends. We want to urge everyone to sign this initiative, at the very least, just to help get it on the ballot. Because at the very least, I think at least 80% of us can agree there ought to be a discussion in the state about the future of public education. Whether or not you're sure how you're going to vote on it or yet, sign the initiative so that we can have a statewide discussion about what we're doing for our kids.
Yeah, that's a good point. Just getting on the ballot doesn't mean anything if it doesn't get passed. So there's an opportunity just to have the issue debated, as you've said. Rebecca, you have any final words you want to throw in?
You know, I just think that no one should be afraid to see this go to a vote. We deserve to have a conversation about it. I think that Idaho voters will uphold our Idaho values, and I know that Idahoans care deeply about the future of our kids.
Let me ask one more question. So we actually have a deadline. How do people stay informed on your progress?
Well, if you go to reclaimidaho.org, you can sign the petition. You can also sign up for our online newsletter. That's a great way. You'll get our email newsletter that will, you know, keep you up to date on our progress. You can also like our page on Facebook. You can, you know, if you're someone who tweets, you can go on Twitter and follow us, or Instagram, you can follow us there too. But those are all ways to you know, stay up to date online. But reclaimidaho.org is the best place to start.
Okay. Well, thanks again, Luke and Rebecca, for speaking with us today.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
That's it for our show today. If you've just tuned in, you've been listening to Community Conversations on 88.5 KRFY and our discussion with Rebecca Schroeder and Luke Mayville of Reclaim Idaho about their current Invest in Idaho initiative effort. I'm Chris Bessler, Be sure to tune in each Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. for more community conversations. If you happen to miss all or part of a show, remember, you can hear the recorded podcast on our website at www.krfy.org and click to our podcast page. Thanks for listening today.